God's Word is indeed a light unto our path. And this morning I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 10 through 23. So as we look at the end of Philippians here, we see in chapter 4 at the beginning a little dispute that is going on in that church between Euodia and Syntyche, and Paul lays out how Christians should live, how they should, what their behavior should be like. And then he closes here with some important practical advice for us today in terms of how we should be content and where our strength should come from. And he also gives us some important insights here about giving our resources to God. Before we read God's Word today, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would bless our reading of your holy word. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Please listen to God's word. I rejoice. Paul uses this word rejoice many times in the book of Philippians. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Philippians is in many ways a thank you letter, and we see that here in these final words that Paul has for the church in Philippi. We know that Paul writes this letter from prison, from Rome, and he is writing to these great believers in the Philippian church. This is what our church needs to be like. This is the type of behavior that we as Christians today need to be modeling. We want to be like the Philippians. But before I talk about them, I want to talk about some important things that we learn from the first few verses of this passage, where Paul focuses on how he is content. Now, in the first century, in the ancient world, there were individuals known as Stoic philosophers. And these philosophers traveled around the ancient world, and they taught that if you wanted to be content in this life, that you needed to have independence. You need to be self-sufficient. And I think if we think about that, that is in some measure, that is true. We do get contentment from being self-sufficient. But what Paul is saying here is that our true contentment comes from being united to Jesus Christ. True satisfaction is found only in Him. Paul lays out here, talks about his needs. And he was a person who had needs. He had financial needs, we know that. He traveled around the ancient world preaching. It took resources to do that. But we also know that he experienced many hardships. He experienced physical abuse. He was in riots. He was attacked physically for the fact that he shared the gospel despite people trying to stop him. He did it. And he did it even at great personal cost. He writes here from prison. But we learn from this passage that Paul doesn't do this on his own. He does it because he's united to Jesus Christ, and it's Christ that gives him strength. This is the source of his contentment. This is the source of his power, being united to Jesus Christ. Now, think about this in comparison to trees. Where do trees get their strength? They get their strength from something that is hidden, from their roots, right? And it's the same with the Apostle Paul. This is what he's saying here. He gets his strength from something that is hidden. His spiritual life isn't known to everyone. Our spiritual lives are not known to everyone. But if we're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, if we're going to have the strength of Christ in us, we need to be united to him. This is something that unbelievers, people who are not Christians, they don't quite understand this. They don't grasp the power and the strength that Christians have. How is it that Christians are able to persevere in the midst of death? How was it that Christians in the first century had strength to care for the ill and the downtrodden and those who are sick? Why did they do that? Where did their strength come from? It came from being united to Jesus Christ and seeking to model his compassion and his grace. Paul says in this passage that he is able to do everything through Christ who gives him strength. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me," Jesus says, "apart from me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing." Jesus is indeed the vine, and we are the branches, and we need to be connected to him. If you cut off the root source of a tree, it would die. If you cut off our connection to Jesus Christ, we would wither and die spiritually as well. This is why sin is such a serious issue, is because it separates people from Jesus Christ. And what we need to tell people is the gospel message, that Jesus died on the cross and that there is his forgiveness and his love available to them. This is what we're called to do as believers, to proclaim that message. We're to proclaim this message, that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. We truly have new life in Jesus Christ, despite what other people might tell you, despite what the outside world might say. We have new life in him. In Jesus, we have peace. In Jesus, we have purpose. And as Paul outlines here at the beginning of this passage, in him, we have true contentment. Now, we may search for contentment in our work, in our careers. We may search for contentment in relationships, and those are not necessarily bad things. But true contentment is found in Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul says here in this passage, he says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Now, I don't think what he's getting at here is, okay, if I rely on Jesus' strength, I'm going to go out and be a great tennis player. Or I can just rely on Jesus' strength and I'm going to go out and win the Masters, right? That's probably not going to happen, even though we have had some successful Christian golfers. That's not the point that Paul is getting at. What he's getting at here is that if you're following Jesus and serving him faithfully, you will have all the power within you to meet the demands of life. Whatever came Paul's way, whatever hardship he faced, whatever obstacle he faced, he had the strength to meet it because he was in Christ. Think of that. We learn also in this passage something else that's very important to us today as well. We learn that the Philippians were what? They were a generous church. They freely gave of their resources. And Paul says here that as he left Macedonia, as he preached the gospel, there was only one church who supported him. One church. The Philippian believers. And Paul says here, and we learn from this text, that he appreciated their gifts. But as we think of giving this morning, as we think of Christian generosity, Paul says something very, very important here. What we learn from this passage is that the most important aspect of the Philippians' gifts was that their gifts were increasing their spiritual capital. We see this in verse 17 where Paul says, not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what might be credited to your account. In other words, what Paul is saying here is as they are giving their financial gifts to him and they're sending Epaphroditus with these gifts to Paul, he's saying is this shows that they are growing in their spiritual maturity. They're growing in their holiness, and that this is to be credited to their account. In other words, they're growing and progressing in sanctification, growing in Christ likeness. They're on the same page with the Apostle Paul. They're revealing that they loved and cared for other people. They're revealing that they cared about getting the gospel message out. And I want to thank everyone here who recently contributed to our campaign to raise monies for our new Director of Youth and Family Ministry. We were able to, in a very short amount of time, we raised a considerable amount of money. And I want to thank everyone and I want to commend you as the congregation for doing that. It shows the growth of our own congregation in spiritual development. See, the one thing this passage teaches us is that our financial support of the church's mission is at least as important for our own spiritual development as for any good that it might do to those who receive it. Sometimes we think that our gifts are just about the people who receive it. We think about, okay, it's going to go to this ministry. It's going to go to this cause. But our gifts do go to those things, but it reveals to us our own spiritual lives as well. Think of that. What does your bank account reveal about your spiritual priorities? Would you want your bank statements to be shown on a large screen in the front of the sanctuary, right? Right? We're not going to do that. We're not that type of church. I do know of some churches that print the giving statements of each individual member. We're not going to do that. That's between you and God, right? That's between you and God, and that's a private issue. But as we think about that this morning in light of Scripture, think about it. What does our giving show about our growth in holiness? What does our giving show about our personal commitment to getting the gospel message out and truly caring for the hurting, caring for the lost, caring for those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? There are many people in our society today who are not content. There are many people, maybe even here this morning, who don't have the peace that only Jesus can give. And it's our job, it's our responsibility as believers to be like the Philippians and to do everything we can to get the gospel message out with our resources. What does Paul say here about the Philippians' gift? What does he say? He says it in verse 18. He says it's what? It's a fragrant offering to God. God loves the smell, that analogy, he loves the fragrant offering of our gifts. This morning, as we think about this passage, is God in love with our gifts? Does he find it to be a fragrant offering? So as we think about this passage today, and as I conclude, let us think about the need for us to continue to give sacrificially. And help us to remember that our giving has a benefit to us spiritually as well. The more generous we are, the more we are showing our growth in holiness. What really pleases God is a generous spirit. This morning, as we think of this passage as well, and as we leave here today, help us also to remember to find our contentment in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're searching for contentment in something else, maybe in a relationship that's gone bad, or maybe it's in alcohol, or maybe it's in something else, Jesus is the only one who will satisfy. Whatever your circumstances are, put your trust in Him. Rely on Him. Don't leave here today depending on something else or putting your trust in something else. Put your trust in Him and rely on His strength, just as the Apostle Paul did. If you do that, your life will be changed. God's working of the Holy Spirit will transform your life. And it won't be about you becoming great for God. It will be about allowing this great God of ours to work in you and through you, and you will indeed bear fruit. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for spiritual renewal here this morning as we hear your word and as we take it into our hearts and into our minds. Help us to leave here this morning seeking to be bold in our witnessing for you. Help us to truly love and care for those around us. But Lord, we also pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, who has not put their trust in you. Lord, we pray that they would do so today and experience the new life that only you offer. Lord, we lift up this prayer to you and ask it all in your name. Amen.